Son of God, right? Do you think Satan gave him special privilege? You see, things were going on in the spiritual world, weren't they? Things were pretty serious, and Satan said, I got to keep my eye on this dude, right? So Satan says to Jesus, you know what? Those disciples of yours, they need to be sifted like wheat, but we need to understand that this was special. If we accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Redeemer of our life, we're protected from these things. We're protected from these things. Now, that doesn't mean that other people who haven't accepted Christ can't affect us and our decisions or affect our lives. But our life is protected. We have a hedge of protection around us because why? Why? We belong to Christ's church. We are a part of the body of Christ. Amen? We are protected. Doesn't mean we can't be influenced, but we are protected. So now, as we move on, you see, Jesus is wanting us to understand who we are, but at the same time, the devil is trying to convince the disciples, right, of who they aren't. Of who they aren't. You see, the devil likes to take advantage of our failures, doesn't he? See, the devil can, even though he is one person or his minions or whatever, they can convince you of who you aren't because of your failures, can't they? Well, moving on. Jesus prayed for Peter. Now, look at what he prayed. I have prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. Now, so Jesus prayed that Peter wouldn't suffer, didn't he? No. How about Jesus prayed that Peter would never go through any trials, right? Jesus prayed that Peter and the disciples would never, ever get hurt, didn't he? No. What did he say? He prayed for you. Jesus said to Peter, I prayed for you that your own faith may not fail. Now, what does that imply, folks? Okay, Peter, life's going to get rough. You're going to go down a road that you don't like very well, and you may question your faith, Peter. And I pray to God that you do not lose your faith. I pray to God that your faith will not fail. He didn't say anything about not having pain in our life, did he? Or Peter in his life, or the disciples in their lives, right? He says, I pray that your faith will not fail. And then he says, once Peter turns back, you need to strengthen your brothers. Now, what does that say? Wait a minute. So, okay, if I was Peter, I don't like what you said in that first sentence. But you're implying in this one that I'm going to turn back. I'm going to overcome my failures, right? I'm going to come back and I'm going to strengthen you. Jesus is telling Peter, Peter, you need to live up to that name that I gave you, Petros, rock, right? You need to be a steadfast rock in your faith. You have got to come back after you're over with all your pains and everything. Come back and strengthen your brothers. That's what you need to do. Even though you're going to turn away, Peter, for a time, even though you're going to turn away, you need to come back, Peter. You need to live up to your name, Peter. So he gives Peter hope, doesn't he? He gives Peter an understanding that there is light at the end of the tunnel. He says, Peter, you're going to overcome your failure, and I need you to come back and strengthen your brothers. Now, of course, Peter responds in good Peter fashion. You remember what that was? Lord, I am ready to go with you to prison and to death. Oh, Lord, how many times I've said that in my life. I'm behind you 100%. You can count on me, Bill. Right? I've even said it to Jesus. Jesus, I'll go wherever you want to go. I'll say whatever you want me to say. I'll be, Jesus, whoever you want me to be. Oh, but boy, when your personality, or excuse me, your character is on the line in your community. Oh, Jesus, I don't know if I know you or not. Do I remember that conversation right, Ron? Is that what I told you that I would do? Don't we do that? How many times do we say that to someone or even to Jesus? And yet when it boils down to it, when the rubber meets the road, we're like, oh, dear Lord in heaven, can I really do that? All right.